Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Search Update.
We have three guys waiting on the Houston Texans. We believe Eric Bieniemy, Matt Eberflus, Leslie Frazier, the three guys waiting to get that phone call from Cal McNair that says you're going to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. Hopefully Caserio makes the call. I think that would be a better decision. And we also have three guys waiting for whoever gets that phone call. Mike Vrabel, Frank Reich, and Urban Meyer. You want to talk about three badasses awaiting the Texans' announcements? Those are three badasses right there. Mike Vrabel, Frank Reich, Urban Meyer, the next Texans coach is going to have his work cut out for him. The only question is, who is that going to be? Let's go around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. That's the Search Update.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Eric Bieniemy is the one that would excite people the most. Matt Eberflus, Deshaun Watson's had some good things to say about him. Leslie Frazier would make you say, meh, na-na-na-na.
He would.
That'd be a tough sales pitch. But those are the three that we're looking at right now. The more time that goes by, the more hope there is for Bieniemy. But I think there are some good things and there are some bad things about all of these guys. Bieniemy's going to immediately win the press conference. Leslie Frazier is going to be a tough sales pitch. Matt Eberflus, I think, is somewhere in the middle of those two.
You know, and I think it's I'm even more firm right now than I was yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
And yesterday evening on the Search special, which is going to continue every day until we do have this.
6 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610. I think my next time up is Friday, 6 o'clock with Brandon Scott.
Oh, good. B. Scott. I was on last night with Show. I feel more firmly about this than I have all day and yesterday. Texans have their coach. I think it's going to be announced or reported, not announced officially by the Texans, but reported today. If not today, by tomorrow.
Who's going to get the story? Who's going to get the scoop?
It'll be either Rapoport, Schefter, or McClain. Hopefully McClain, because you know how he feels about local.
We got McClain tomorrow at 10:30. Maybe he'll break it on the show.
I think, that'd be sweet.
By the way, whenever he gets breaking news and he leaves the show, do we take that out of his inventory?
What do you mean? Like out of his check?
There's been times where some news has been breaking and he's just hung up and left. Don't you think he should give me that chunk if he leaves me out to dry like that? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's only fair?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the money he makes. Lord.
You've seen it? Tell us more.
No comment.
Hey, you know those old war movies where...
I don't like war movies.
I'm not a huge fan, but I like the real good ones.
Forrest Gump's my favorite war movie.
Platoon, you know.
When he went and got
Full
Bubba.
Metal Jacket, the classics.
Remember Bubba? Never seen it.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, like in the old war movies, when they go, it's quiet. And then they pause, like Michael Irvin, and they say, too quiet. That's where we are right now with the Texans head coaching search. It's been quiet for 2 days. No interviews requested. No coaches in town reported. Texans haven't tweeted anything since they last tweeted out that that they did report interview Eberflus and Bieniemy, et cetera, et cetera. It is too quiet right now. They have their guy, people. I think it's gonna happen a lot sooner rather than later.
They like Friday news dumps, though.
Yeah, but this is not something to hide. This is something to scream from the rafters. It's your next head
coach.
Unless
it's Leslie Frazier.
Unless it's Leslie
Might
Frazier.
Want to dump
that's a good point. I think it's going to be
505.
I think it's going to be Matt Eberflus. I think it's going to be Matt Eberflus.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Bieniemy. I think Frazier has a chance right now. I don't know, though. It's a fluid process. That's the beauty of this. Sometimes you think B.O.B.'s not getting fired, then he gets fired. It's a fluid process. That's what's so fun about it. You talked about war movies. I watched an old school movie. Yes, you know I like 80s movies.
Yeah.
I watched Summer School yesterday. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I didn't mind it.
Man, Anna Maria in that movie. What's her name? Fabiana Udineo or whatever?
I'm not sure.
Working it. Strongest new rope. 713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Larry in Stafford. Larry, you're on In the Loop around the NFL on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me get in, fellas. Look here, Landry, I see you all over the place again, man.
It's a fluid process. I mean, it keeps changing. The report, if the report drops this morning that Tim Kelly's staying, what am I supposed to make of that? Am I supposed to just say, I'm not saying who I want. I'm saying who I think it's going to be. It changes.
Hey, man, I get it, man, but stay on your original point, man. Look, let me help you out. We got to understand if Jack Easterby made Michael Irvin pause, then that tells you that Jack Easterby need to be out of that locker room or out of that organization, because to get Mike and Ray both to feel the way they feel, hey, man, that tells you at some point he got to go. But I want to hit on this waffling thing. This whole Leslie Frazier thing, Lopez, look here, man. You know, sometimes you go into the car dealership, right? Your credit score is a 790 or an 820 or something, and you get this old boring-ass salesperson to come out there, and he's trying to – you walk in there and say, man, I'm going to get me this 2021 Corvette. And then he bring his ass up there and tell you, look here, man, you can buy this the Toyota Prius, and we could save you this money. That's what hiring Leslie Frazier would be like. Going in there, wanting the Corvette, and walking your ass out there with a Toyota Prius. You go get the best dude. And the best dude for this organization is going to be, and we all know who it's going to be, it's going to be EB, because I'm going to put all that Lopez OG sauce on my ribs when I get to cooking them once he get here. Now, my second point, Landry, is this. The coaching staff is going to be important. The fact that the Texans are still trying to hold on to Tim Kelly, I don't care whether I like it or not or whatever. As long as Tim Kelly got somebody over there that's going to design plays better than Bill O'Brien, Tim Kelly may be all right, but I still want his ass gone just like I want Anthony Weaver's ass gone. My next point, quit saying Eric Bieniemy is just he's going to win the press conference and all that. That is diminishing what exactly Eric Bieniemy is. Eric Bieniemy is probably one of the best play callers in football. He's probably one of the best leaders in the locker room, as we've seen in Kansas City. He's not going to just win the press conference. He's not going to get up there and just curse somebody out. He's a leader of men. That's what everybody up there has said. And one of the first things EB is going to do is probably go ahead and repair the relationship so that we can go ahead and keep J.J. Watt. Because I don't think J.J. is going to wear another uniform. And what they can do with J.J. is move his ass to his natural position, which is at D tackle, and then get you two ends to go outside of him and let him and Blacklock handle that inside, and they go to a 4-3 defense. The last thing I want to let y'all go with is this. George Springer, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for everything you did for the Astros and getting us that World Series. Wear your ring and pride, your ring with pride up in Toronto, and just keep smashing. Now bring Brantley back to Houston since he hasn't signed with the Blue Jays yet, and then the Astros keep it moving. Fellas, I thank y'all for letting me get in, but Lopez, I want to say this to you. Man, did you see how fine Michelle Obama looked when she walked down that stage? Oh, Lord, in our hall.
Lord. Good gosh, that's Larry in Stafford. The win in the press conference, I think leaders of men win the press conference. So I kind of connect those things.
They can.
I'm not, you know, when I say win the press conference, there's more to that. I mean, that's excite the fan base.
Well, we've heard the enemy just in press conferences in general.
Like, Mike Tomlin wins press conferences. Mike Tomlin is a leader of men. That's the comparison that Smitty keeps making with Eric Bieniemy. So I'm not saying win the press conference, like he's going to go up there and that's all he's going to do. The play calling, I don't know. I don't know what it would look like with Bieniemy. There's a lot of reasons for optimism. There's also reasons for skepticism. I don't know how Larry's so good at analogies, but his analogies always...
He's Larry, man.
They always get hit out the park.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the anti-Matt Hammond. The car sales analogy with Leslie Frazier is spot on.
Yeah.
That's 100% spot on.
A Kia?
But I do think you got to make something of this Tim Kelly thing, and that's why it's a fluid process. Like, I would love to have Eric Bieniemy. I would love for national media types to be behind the Texans. I would love for the fan base to be excited. I would love for that to happen. But I do think when the report comes out that teams from Dan Graziano today are asking to interview Kelly and they're saying no, I do think that's something that you got to at least adjust your mindset and wonder what's going to happen with the Texans and what's going to move forward. Because if you try to just assume that they're going to do what you think they should do, you're a damn fool. You are a damn fool, and I ain't no damn fool. I know Larry ain't no damn fool either.
It's not a small thing, man, that they've refused to allow Tim Kelly to interview elsewhere. I do want to know if it's for an offensive coordinator position elsewhere or a quarterback coach position here. Who knows? We'll find out it ultimately. But he's still on the radar, which means probably more Frazier and Eberflus. Because Bieniemy is not going to keep Tim Kelly around. I don't see any scenario in which he would. I would think that's another indicator that's probably either going to be Eberflus or Frazier. Bieniemy has no interest in keeping Tim Kelly around. I can promise you that.
One wouldn't think.
Right.
Unless he just knows that Deshaun likes him and says, okay, there you go.
But then that's not his decision. If he made the decision, he wouldn't say, oh, Deshaun likes you? Okay, I'll keep him. No, that means it's Cal's and Easterby's decision, and he's acquiescing, you know, to them. That's all that is.
I think the other thing with Bieniemy, and there's a lot of people saying a lot, you know, as far as what he wants, what he expects, what the Texans want, what the Texans expect. Just everybody's got something to say.
Mm-hmm.
If he does want control, like somewhat of personnel, I don't know that that's something that the Texans would want to hear, especially now that they've hired a GM that's actually legit and is actually an adult and actually has some skins on the wall
mm-hmm.
and has earned this opportunity. I don't know that I think a coach and a GM can work together, but saying I want personnel control based on what has just happened might be something that that kind of raises an eyebrow too. And I don't know whether he said that or not. Again, there's so much information coming in different directions.
I think the way they worded it in the report is very important. They said he reportedly wants to have some say in personnel. That's a big difference from control. I think the reason I say that is because I think that's his way of saying, I don't want Easterby telling us what to do or influencing our picks. It's going to be Nick Caserio's call with a little bit of approval from me or my approval signing off on it, whatever. I think that's what that is. It's not like I want control. It's I want to make sure that dude is not around when we're making personnel decisions. I think that's what that is.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio's got some decisions to make. Let's just pretend that Deshaun Watson is staying. Let's enjoy this. Let's get rid of all this noise, and let's assume that number four, when the Texans go back on the field in September, is a Houston Texan. Let's look at everything else Nick Caserio has to address. Let's try to give him some help next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's pretend Deshaun Watson's staying. He's here. He's not going anywhere.
We're pretending this game already.
All right, it's a fun game. Nick Caserio still got his work cut out for him. Got to go to the Senior Bowl next week, I believe. He's grinding tape. He doesn't have a first-round pick. He doesn't have a second-round pick. He's been working a long time to be a general manager, has tried multiple times to get out of New England, and he finally escaped Bill Belichick, and he's here in Houston. He's grinding. Here are the next big decisions that Nick Caserio is going to have to make, and let's just help him make these decisions.
Okay.
Let's start with the coach. Who's going to coach Deshaun Watson? what's going through Nick Caserio's mind when he makes this decision? Because he is going to be the one that makes the decision. What do you think Nick Caserio is saying right now when he's deciding between? Are we just going to assume that it's Bieniemy, Eberflus, Frazier for the sake of this exercise?
I think that's safe to assume like one of those three.
Joe Brady did get interviewed, but we kind of just assume he's going to be in Carolina as the OC. What's going through Nick Caserio's mind right now when he weighs this?
Every decision that he makes comes back to Deshaun Watson. So what should be going through his mind right now is what is best for Deshaun Watson to get the most out of him and for us to win a championship. And that includes decisions he's going to be making on the defensive side. I mean, you got to have a defense that can maybe you want a real active, fast Buffalo Bills type defense that can maybe create more turnovers. What does that do? That shortens the field. Everybody likes turnovers, but some are built more to do that than others. Matt Eberflus's defense does not do that. They give up long drives. They just shut you down.
Spin don't break. It's Marinelli.
Yeah, exactly. So I think literally every decision he makes comes back to Deshaun Watson. That's priority number one. There's a bunch of priorities behind it.
And we don't know what Deshaun wants. We know a lot of people have had a lot of things to say, but we do know one thing that Deshaun wants. And I think this is something to keep in mind. And we also know that the Texans have blocked Tim Kelly from interviewing for other jobs. Here was Deshaun Watson talking about Tim Kelly.
Tim, over the past 2 years, have really taken my game to a whole nother level. As far as just knowledge, reading defenses, understanding run points and run schemes, his knowledge of just the game of football is very, very bright. I have all the respect and love for Tim, and definitely want him around as long as possible.
There we go. So yeah. Deshaun's on record publicly saying he wants Tim Kelly. So you got to take that into account. You also got to take into account that Nick Caserio has blocked Tim Kelly from interviewing for other jobs.
That's huge.
So based on that, that could point in the direction of defensive guys like Leslie Frazier or Matt Eberflus. I think those are the context clues. That's the stuff going through the mind of Nick Caserio. And I also do think you also got to keep in mind, Deshaun likes this system. Tim Kelly knows this system. Maybe the system can be tweaked. I think B.O.B. was an offensive buffoon. I don't think he was very imaginative. I think he was missionary. I think he wore whitey tighties when he called plays and coached the offense. So
It wasn't horseshit on offense.
Well, it was. It was. And it was all mop-up duty when you said that. So Nick Caserio knows this, too. He knows this system, too. And he's in on game plans. He's in on meetings. He's familiar with a form of this system as well. So I think that's something else to keep into account. Next decision for Nick Caserio. So we're talked about the quarterback. We've talked about the coach. J.J. Watts.
Yep.
How does he want to handle J.J. Watts? There are a lot of factors here. J.J. Watt has been the most openly disgruntled member of the Houston Texans on record behind podium. J.J. Watt is not in his 20s like Deshaun Watson. His body has taken a beating. He might actually want to get out of this situation. I think that's something that Nick Caserio might have to take into account. J.J. Watt's future, the next big decision Nick Caserio, the GM of the Texans, is going to have to make.
It is, but I think much like Deshaun Watson, you have a sit-down, a conversation with J.J. just to make sure that you're doing him right. And I think ultimately I think we're almost to the point where whether J.J. wants to or not, the odds are that he's going to be moved. That's a very Patriots way kind of doing things, you know, moving a contract like that. If you can find someone at the end of their careers, maybe not. And obviously everybody would love to see him stay here. But you sit down with J.J. and you get a real feel for what he wants and you try to accommodate him.
I think J.J. is going to want to move on. I don't think it's going to be anything personal. And I actually think that Nick Caserio is going to be able to get decent value for J.J. Watt. What we wanted during the trade deadline, second round pick, third round pick. Yeah. And then who knows what he does with that second or third. Maybe you get a running back. There's a lot of good running backs. Travis Etienne slides to the second round? What if Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State is there? I don't think too many people would complain about that. What about my man from Alabama, all-time touchdown leader? There's a lot of stuff there. So I think that's something to keep in mind. Wide receivers going down the checklist for Nick Caserio. How's he going to handle the receivers? This is interesting. You had Will Fuller in the middle of a career year get popped with the Peds. Deshaun Watson's a way better quarterback with Will Fuller. Brandon Cooks, who was in New England for a year. Caserio actually traded for and then traded right after. First round both times. Brandon Cooks, what are you going to do with that? $12 million, not guaranteed. Will Fuller, you going to bring him back? Randall Cobb, please get him out of here because he clearly doesn't want to be here. Just get him out of here, please. How you handle that? I think maybe this Deshaun Watson power play could lead to maybe them being more open towards bringing back both Cooks and Fuller at somewhat of a bargain, and I think it could actually become more likely that those guys come back with Deshaun.
Cooks isn't going anywhere, right?
I don't know.
No, I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't know.
He's an Easterby guy, at the top of the list probably of Easterby guys. He certainly is someone.
Is he still, though?
Oh, yeah.
He's been kind of passive-aggressive and
liking some stuff. He likes his quarterback, for sure, but he's an Easterby guy. And I think...
I don't think it's Easterby's call. I think it's Caserio's. Yeah. Caserio's traded him before.
He has.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has. But I think I think he's going to stay. I would venture to say 100%.
Okay, so you think Cook stays? Do you think Fuller stays? I think this would be something that maybe Deshaun would try to push. Let's keep Will here.
He is going to push it. I mean, he knows what Will Fuller can do for this offense, and when he's running down that field and you know he's stretching the field, all the options that are out there for Deshaun as a passer and a runner, he's absolutely pushing for that. This is again. Where are you going to find the money for that when you've got Cooks, you know, the way he is? I mean, Cobb's gone, but where are you going to find the money for that?
I think this is the most encouraging thing with Nick Caserio. The thing I'm most encouraged by is something that the Texans have really mishandled, the running back position. You signed Lamar Miller, you misused him. You drafted Deontay Foreman in the third round, you misused that. You traded a third-round pick for Duke Johnson, you misused Duke Johnson. You traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson, that was a joke. They have screwed up the running back position about as much as you can. I didn't even mention that Alfred Blue lingered here as long as he did. Caserio got James White in New England. They drafted Sony Michel. They used Rex Burkhead. Hell, they drafted Damian Harris when they already had all these running backs. This is the thing I'm most excited about because I think the running back position will get more exciting for the Houston Texans on Caserio's watch.
You know why? Because it's going to be a rookie. They're going to have to bring in... I mean, they don't have a pick until the third round, but even if it's that one, they can't... Well, obviously, no David Johnson. Duke Johnson has a role, but they've misused him, by the way, in Tim Kelly's offense. Even when Tim Kelly took over, they misused Duke Johnson. They're going to have some energy, a new young face that people can get behind and get excited about.
Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams out of North Carolina, Najee Harris out of Alabama, mm-hmm. Chuba Hubbard, Oklahoma State. There's a lot of options at running back there, and Nick Caserio has done a good job with that. Those are the decisions ahead of Nick Caserio. Of course, the most important one we just kind of put to the side and assumed that Deshaun was going to be here. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, Anthony Weaver. He might haunt the Houston Texans. I'm starting to feel that way. And Michael Brantley, George Springer, he's got one request for you. Just one request. Next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Anthony Weaver interviewing in Jacksonville. I think he could be a good defensive coordinator. I really do. I think he was basically bringing not a knife to a gunfight, a plastic knife to a gunfight. Actually, a spork. He didn't have a plastic knife. He had a spork. Shout out to Taco Bell for being one of the few that actually uses sporks.
I'm a big fan.
I got some actual metal sporks. Cody Stutes gave them to me for Christmas.
That's a million-dollar idea. That's a great idea.
He gave me metal sporks. They
I would use that every day. It's versatile.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Ooh, John.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, Cody.
Thoughtful guy.
Mm-hmm.
That Cody Stutes. We have some audio of Anthony Weaver interviewing with Urban Meyer. I don't know if he helped his cause very much, but this is what it sounded like. Anthony Weaver, defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans in 2020, interviewing with the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Urban Meyer.
Number one is effort. You demand effort. You don't coach effort. You demand it. You either right. do it or you don't.
My guys play hard. They battle. They're doing the absolute best they can, and they leave everything they have on that football field to go out there and stone the run. And if that's ever questioned, then I'll resign. This narrative that's being painted like my guys are undisciplined and running around blocks, quite frankly, and to be put it bluntly, is bullshit.
Is he going to get the job? Is he going to get the job?
I mean, they're not interviewing anybody else that we've heard. And he's an Urban Meyer guy. I think he's going to, you know, he speaks his language, so to speak.
Which is football?
Which is that energy football in the weeds kind of talking
Man,
about.
Man, the more Urban Meyer videos I watch of just his studio work and his grasp of literally everything.
Everything.
And not just fake. It's not like the fake, like, you know, using like catchphrases and
like a
words.
Lot of people do.
Yeah, like the whole like just using like generic coach speak. Like he goes in depth.
Well, and what you're talking about, what you're talking about is exactly what people hear the term. Yeah, they're in quarters. The defense, the cornerback didn't have a good angle on that just because they hear it a lot.
He likes to teach, man.
But he'll get
into the
weeds.
He likes to teach, man.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that he can be down to his third-string quarterback and still win a national championship like Ohio State did. There's a reason that he can win a national championship at Florida with Chris Leak, with Tim Tebow as the goal line guy, and then go win one with Tim Tebow as the quarterback there and go undefeated at Utah. Like, there's a reason. And I think the gap between the college and pro game is so small now that, like, this narrative that, oh, you don't bring guys in from college anymore, I think it's very dated. Mm-hmm. I think you might as well go to Blockbuster Video if you feel that way. If you feel that way, then you need to go to Blockbuster Video. And if you want to watch the Conor McGregor pay-per-view fight, drive up to your local cable provider. Get that box that you used to have to set up in the freaking 90s to watch pay-per-view, and that's how you can watch it. That's how dated this notion that college coaches can't go to the NFL is. It's a very dated thing, and I think you just got to look at Bill O'Brien. I think Bill O'Brien had that dated mindset. Just,
they don't know anything.
Rookies don't know anything. Making the offense as difficult as possible. I think that's what really caused Bill O'Brien to be very meh as a coach. And I think Urban Meyer, I think there's it's an NFL where college and pros is a lot more similar than it has been in a long time. And I think Urban Meyer is going to do a good job there. I really do. I'm saying 8 wins at least for the Jags this year. 8.
He won 8 games at Bowling Green. He won 9 grand games at Bowling Green. He's won everywhere he's been. He's had one or fewer losses in college, and I'm going to get to the college point you made in a second. 9, 10 times. 10 times, one or fewer losses in a season. He just is a good coach. But again, if you think
college, if Urban Meyer would have gotten hired with the Texans, I would be doing
backflips. I said they should have interviewed. I'm like, why aren't they in on Urban Meyer?
Backflips.
Why are they not in on Urban Meyer? And, of course, that didn't happen. They had their own list. And now he's going to be in Jacksonville. And Jacksonville's going to be a problem, if not next year, soon. If you don't think a college coach can translate to the NFL in today's NFL, when you got quarterbacks like Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson translating their college game to the NFL, I don't know what to tell you. Like you said, you know, put your 8-track in the player and drive on down the road.
100%. 100,000%. Urban Meyer's going to do a pretty good job. I'm pretty intrigued by it. And if you look at the three badasses that are waiting and the three badasses that are waiting here in H-Town, you have Urban Meyer, a winner. You have Mike Vrabel, who's been to the AFC Championship game and won the division this past year. You have Frank Reich, who's very well-respected, although he's going to have to find a quarterback once again because Philip Rivers called it quits after 17 seasons. Mm-hmm. Those guys are awaiting whoever the Texans hire. So whether it's going to be Eric Bieniemy, whether it's going to be Leslie Frazier, whether it's going to be Matt Eberflus, that head coach is going to come into a straight-up battle because those are some proven coaches. Your AFC South where you had Chuck Pagano, Mike Mularkey, and Gus Bradley, and Bill O'Brien.
And Marone.
Those days are gone.
Might be the best assortment of coaches in any division, right?
I
top
like
to bottom, if you depending on who the Texans
I like
get.
The AFC East.
Oh, yeah.
I like Belichick, mm-hmm. Flores, Sala, and McDermott.
NFC West is pretty good.
NFC West is pretty. There's just a lot of really good coaches. Mm-hmm. But I would go with the East. But the South is good. It's just going to be a matter of who the Texans are going to hire, which you think is going to come pretty soon. I think this Tim Kelly news, and this is what Deshaun Watson wants, I think defense might be the way in which they lean. The way in which they could go is defense. I still think Bieniemy would be a very intriguing hire. I think that would be great. But it just seems like defense is the way to go. And I also think that these national media types are kind of pushing a narrative that Deshaun Watson wants Eric Bieniemy to be the coach. And Deshaun Watson hasn't said such a thing.
Yeah.
All that Deshaun Watson has said is that he wants Tim Kelly to be the coach. He said awesome things about Matt Eberflus.
He said more complimentary things about Matt Eberflus, really, if you're gonna listen to both and you're going to parse them out, than he did Eric Bieniemy. It's a little bit of a race card thing, you know, and probably unfair. He said nice things about Eric Bieniemy. Oh, well, then he must love Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy all of a sudden becomes the, you know, he gets joined at the hip with Deshaun Watson. He actually sought out, went out of his way, Matt Eberflus after the last time the Texans played the Colts, and then was asked about it. So he actually initiated this whole conversation about Eberflus and then raved about Eberflus. I think he likes Eberflus as much, if not more, than Bieniemy, but for some reason, people talk about him being more in line with Bieniemy.
Yeah, you gotta follow this information, and I think there's a lot of information coming out from a lot of very thirsty people when it comes to the Texans. I think there is some unhappiness there, but I think a lot of people are speaking for Deshaun Watson that aren't necessarily in the camp that matters when it comes to Deshaun Watson. There's only one guy that matters when it comes to talking for Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pride of the University of Texas, David Mulligetta, his agents. That's it. Chris Mortensen don't know nothing. Sarah Barship, come on. Give me a break.
Well,
give me a break.
Your pride of the University of Texas needs to circle the wagon and quit people from leaking stuff.
That's a problem. There's a lot of... They need a plumber at NRG.
They do.
They need a plumber. You got lingering coaches mm-hmm. that aren't going to have jobs.
Lingerer, man.
Yeah, totally.
Lingerer.
You got a departed head of public relations that all the national media types liked. You got the reports about Jamie Roots potentially leaving.
Right.
I mean, you got a lot of people that are willing to talk. To me, if I'm a reporter, if I'm a beat writer, good God, that's a lot of
it's
options.
A target-rich environment.
It's a lot of options.
It definitely is.
You got to take it with a grain of salt. But all we've heard from Deshaun Watson is that he wants Tim Kelly, and they're not letting Tim Kelly interview in other places. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. 4946 on the text line. J-Lo, Urban Meyer wanted to be in the state of Florida. I don't know that that's true. I think he wanted the best situation. I think he thinks the Jags situation with Trevor Lawrence, with all that cap space, with that young talent, was the ideal situation. I think if you took the Jags situation and you brought it to Houston and you put the Texans in Jacksonville, I think it's possible Urban Meyer ends up here rather than there.
If Urban Meyer wanted to live in a particular state, he wouldn't be a football coach. He lived in Ohio for 8 years. That is not – the coaches look for who's the quarterback? Who's the owner? That's what every potential head coach, and that's why we've been talking about the Texans being such a, you know, a desirable destination. Because the two questions you ask if you're a potential head coach in the NFL is, who's the quarterback? Who's the owner? Who's the quarterback with Jacksonville? It's the quarterback he wants, whomever he wants, probably Trevor Lawrence. Who's the owner? The owner has made him basically the general manager. They officially hired a general manager, They announced that they're going to have a general manager. Exactly. So it's going to be someone.
Mr. Balky.
Yeah, it's going to be Trent Balky, and it's going to be someone who's going to do all the grunt work on the scouting and all that. But Urban Meyer is going to have final say and the ultimate say on these things. When it comes to Houston, who's the quarterback? Wow, man, I want to go there. Who's the owner? Cal McNair. Well, maybe not.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not being trite. That's where it is. That's the reputation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is ownership. Is the ownership of the Texans right now is not an advantage. John McClain has said it was. John McClain's joining us tomorrow, 10:30. Normally you hear him 10:30 on Tuesday, presented by Horn Solutions. He's joining us tomorrow. That's the first thing I'm gonna ask.
Pick it back up. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, we're cool with it. It's the first thing I'm gonna ask. John, I'm gonna say, hey, do you still think ownership's an advantage for the Texans? Do you still think ownership's an advantage for the Texans?
I don't know what he had to do with.
Well, okay. Well, could Nick Caserio fire Jack Easterby if he wanted to, John? Could he?
I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
I mean, John, what do you want? Come on. Horn Solutions. He's going to bring that fire. He brought that fire this morning, Payne and Pendergast. Don't like that they got first dibs, though.
Yeah, well, that's one of the advantages we have.
We got first dibs.
We bet lead off.
They got first dibs. That was a. Why'd you have to say that?
Oh, no, now they're bringing us down.
Why'd you have to say that?
Now it's bringing us down.
Why did you have to say that?
Slip of the tongue.
We bat leadoff. Speaking of that.
I'd like to apologize to the city of Houston.
You're a jerk.
I would like to apologize to the city of Houston for what I just said.
George Springer has been batting leadoff for the Astros for a while. Signs with the Toronto Blue Jays. George Springer gets that bread. It's going to be weird watching George Springer in a Blue Jays uniform. 6 years, $150 million, by the way. Looks like Michael Brantley could be going with him, too.
Mm-hmm.
But George
All signs
Springer,
point to that.
George Springer, to me, when it comes to baseball, a lot of people look at it as kind of a stagnant sport. Not much excitement. Some people say, the critics would say, I love the game. I love the purity. But when it came to just energy, charisma, a spark, George Springer was that guy. As soon as he walked to the plate, it felt like business was picking up. And the Springer dinger, leadoff Springer dinger, there was nothing better than that when George Springer did it. He slumped. Sometimes he slumped.
Well, yeah, he did.
But he would always get hot, and he would carry this team. George Springer is a legend, and I'm happy for George Springer. The Michael Brantley one stings because I thought there was a possibility he'd be back, but I knew George was gone. Eventually, the Altuve contract, all the other contracts are going to catch up. So George Springer, tip of the cap to you, my man. Can't believe you brought that up, J-Lo.
I blew you away with a Brantley stat earlier. If you didn't listen to, if you didn't hear it earlier, the most amazing Brantley stat of his career with the Houston Astros, or over the last 5 years, I should say, he swung and missed over the last 5 years 10% of the time.
Man, I can't even stand up.
Now,
what a stat.
Can I blow you away with another
Michael F.
with a Springer stat here?
Yes, you can.
How clutch and how important was he to the Houston Astros? George Springer has played in 63 career postseason games.
It's a lot.
The Toronto Blue Jays have played in 63 postseason games in their history.
Two World Series, by the way.
He's played as many as the Blue Jays have. That's
congrats to him.
Yeah.
Craig Biggio's son up there, Dante Bichette's son, Vlad Guerrero, Michael Brantley maybe, George Springer, Yuli's brother. It's crazy. Dusty Baker talked about George Springer last year and what he brings to the table, and he gave us some of that wisdom.
I mean, this guy can play, and he loves to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he works hard. He works hard, but he enjoys playing. And it's a pleasure to watch him play, because you can tell the joy that he has in playing. You know, there are some guys in his mold, you know, before him come to mind, like Tommy A.G. That's probably before your time. Bobby Bonds, you know, Philippe Alou, you know, the big leadoff hitter with speed that has power and can give you one to nothing, you know, right out the gate.
Man, just dropping that
right out the gate.
I'm going to miss you, George. I'm going to miss you. But I do have a favor from you and Michael Brantley that I would like to ask. Brantley, you really owe me. I've been on you since day one. Michael Effin Brantley is what he's known on as this show, what he's known as on this show. I'm going to need you guys, when you come down to the juice box, you get that standing ovation. You don't even have to go through customs. You're on a private plane.
Yeah.
So this should be real easy for you. I'm going to need you guys to bring me some what, J-Lo?
Duh.
Allow Chris Berman to explain what I want Michael Brantley and George Springer to bring for me.
For the Colts and Rams, I mean, the right? Awful. I saw this on the schedule, Jets during the Christmas holiday. I took four deux at 6 o'clock, knowing what this would be. You know what a deux is? It's Canadian aspirin with a little bit of codeine in it, you know, just enough to give you that pop. Two's deux. I mean, you buy it over the counter up there, you can't hear. It's like $10 up there, but it's like $100 prescription here. See, so you put it in all the corners of your suitcase. Do you have anything to declare? Oh, no. Eh? Deux. You always hope to have one Blue Jay game a year.
You have those bottles, 250, you know, count of 222s? Yes, here they are. I'll take four of them. And they go, they always go, from the States, eh? Deux. You never take deux? Little 8% Cody, never hurt anybody.
Never hurt anybody.
Brantley, Springer, hook your boy up. Hook me up. Holler at your boy. You want to talk about a standing ovation. George Springer, first batter out of the box for the Blue Jays.
I hope they know what they're getting.
What do you mean?
Because, you know, they're not as plugged into what George Springer has been. I mean, they saw him in the postseason as what he's been here, you know, and how clutch he is and how you can... You know, they're probably looking at his number. Well, he's a 270 hitter. That's all right. No. He's not just a 270 hitter. He's a clutch 400 hitter when you need it the most.
By the way, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm not seeing any Toronto. Oh, here we go. At Toronto on June 4th. Don't see them coming to the juice box. So might have to wait a while for that. But the Astros do play the Blue Jays on June 4th.
How big a factor do you think is just getting out of the Astros uniform was for these guys, and maybe more to come, because they didn't have to play in front of fans this past season, but they will this year.
I think this was all about the Benjamins,
and
baby.
Just, I know, I do too. I'm saying, I wonder how much of a factor that was. Like, yeah, probably good for me to go ahead and get in another uniform.
All is forgotten. Yeah. All is forgiven. George, we love you, man. Brantley, you know how I feel about you, man. My favorite players of all time. John McClain tomorrow, 10:30. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a very good one tomorrow, 10:30.
Bring it.
Actually, glad we didn't bat leadoff this week. We're going to get John McClain tomorrow at 10:30. It's going to be
very
good
one.
We'll try not to do that.
Shout
out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. The search is continuing. It appears to be down to three. We'll hear what Clinton Show got to say about that. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you manana at 10 a.m., John McClain at 10:30. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.